Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. It's 5:30 in the morning in LA. It's really hot out here, you guys. And I'm in an area yesterday. Anyway, it was a holiday. And this morning, and I'll be leaving this morning, but they had brush fires here. And you walk out of your house on top of all the heat, on top of everything else that's going on, and it smells like you're in a big fireplace. And there's smoke around your head. And it's just like you can't even describe the feeling until you walk into it. And it's just heat on top of heat on top of heat. It's crazy. But today things are better. Most of the fires are out instead of getting wilder and crazier. They're out. So hopefully today will be a better day and maybe not as hot as well. So I wish you guys had a safe 4th. And I'm happy we're all back to kind of normal again today. But today's show, it's something that's a very subtle topic. It's not the kind of topic that you really think about, but you know in your heart and you know in your head how we all get to know each other over time. And we either get, we feel more trust towards the person we're with, or we feel less trust or more cautious with the person that we are with. And it's interesting how trust grows over time in a relationship. Because relationships will always be like an ebb and a flow. They'll constantly, just throughout our lifetimes, whether it's with our kids, whether it's with our partners or coworkers, anybody that it involves, it's like we have these times where we coast, and then we do have these times where we question, and we question each other as to what their intentions are, or what direction their life is going in, or why it's going in that direction. But when we are in a relationship, how do we grow? Because relationships are different than anyone else you know. When you have kids, you've had them from the very beginning. You know everything about them. When you leave from your family, they know everything about you. They've had you from the beginning. And when you have cousins and relatives and people you've known around you that you've known since you were born or really close to that time. So then what happens is you meet somebody, and they're brand new to you. They're brand new to your family. Nobody knows them. They can tell you whatever they think they are, whoever they think they are. But the only real way for someone to know you and your family and you to know them and their family, and sometimes you don't even get the privilege of meeting someone's family because they may live somewhere else. It's time to get to know each other. And the only way you can is over time. You can wish things to be the way you want them to be. You can hope things are the way you want them to be. But the only way it can happen is over time. So how do we get to trusting someone we just met and are getting to know? In our everyday conversations and opening to the consistency of another soul. Do they conveniently forget things? Do they conveniently fight when they think that they're being wronged and they just come clawing at you? Or do they ask you, hey, you know what, how do you feel in this? What made you think that? And they're willing to confront? Is it like the big things or the little things that drive your relationship? Big events that happen and their reaction to that big event lets you know if, you know, do they got your back or not. We grow and we learn and then we learn and then we grow over and over and over again with someone, which is the whole purpose of them being in your life. What are you learning and what are you teaching the other person about yourself? And how do you know if trust is an issue or a strength of the relationship you're in? Because when trust is an issue, what happens? We're always questioning each other. we're making sure that the other person's telling us the truth. But if somebody is consistently rude or consistently non-consistent or passive and aggressive, where they you know, throw up all this stuff on you, and then they act like it's your problem because you're mad. And they're blaming you for your reaction, and nobody takes notice of why you reacted that way. And those are actually the hardest ones to keep a level of trust with over time. There is a couple, and they have relationship overall. But when they talk, one keeps trying to talk over the other. No one wants to give the other one a chance. You get like said, well, you told me that already. Well, I heard that already. Well, you know, you're not telling me anything new. Hurry up. Get to the point. Get to the point. Get to the point while you're talking. And then you start feeling like you've got to deliver something and you don't even have a chance to think about what you want to say. So then you react and you say, hey, wait a minute. This is not okay. I asked you in the beginning, please let me finish my sentence. At least. Well, no, because I already knew what you were going to say. And when I knew what you were going to say, and tell you why you were saying it like that. And then the other person swears at them and says, please shut the bleep up. And the other person says, what did you just say? And they don't realize that they've driven you to a point of feeling like you're going to go crazy. But now it's all about what you said. The fact that you asked the person not to interrupt you. The fact that you didn't get to finish your sentence and didn't want the answer because it wasn't the answer they wanted. Wasn't big enough, shiny enough. And then after you say what you say, they say, wow, you really got a big ego there. You have some issues with anger. Now they're blaming you for not being able to finish your sentence when you ask with respect because you knew that they were going to do that. And as planned, without either of them knowing, it happened. It happened the first time the person was quiet. It happened the second time the person was quiet. The third time the person got frustrated. And they got blamed for their frustration. They got insulted for their frustration. This happened on a phone. This is a true story. This happened on the phone. One of them hung up the phone because they couldn't take getting insulted anymore and they couldn't stop that train from rolling. While the other one was still assaulting and trying to explain themselves. Everything's about explaining yourself. Well, when things are clear, we don't have to explain ourselves. And hey, you know what? This is what you said, and this is what happened. They say, well, that was convenient. Of course you have to say it that way. I'm like, you don't remember what you said? No. So now I see the fact that the person felt like they got mad all by themselves and then they take blame. Because now the other person washed their hands of it and said, I'm done. Like, you're the problem. You're the garbage. And so now I have them both. And they're having a very hard time communicating. Because the one that got blamed for everything doesn't trust the other one at all. There's still a lot of love between them, but they don't truly know how to communicate. One of them knows everything and has to control every conversation, not one or two, every conversation they have. Every single one of them. And the other one, unless they're feeding that machine of them wanting just the knowledge they want, hearing just what they want to hear, then the one who's communicating, the one who's trying to set boundaries and limits, is unable to do it. Where they stand now is the one who, I want to say, the one who keeps getting clobbered. Stop talking. They're there. There's love. But other than mundane things that happen in a day, there's no conversation. They don't communicate all day yet because they honestly don't have yet a mode of communication that works. So I have to work with the one who needs all the control. She tries to push it on me. Well, just tell me what I need to know so I could do it. It's not that easy, because now you're doing to me and you're trying to demand something from me without looking at you. Do that for you. We have to look at you and see what your part in this equation is so that there can be a balance and trust can be reestablished. It's honestly one of the biggest breakdowns I've seen between any two people. Because when one goes on the full assault like that, the other one starts drowning and can't breathe and can't keep up. And then when they try to save themselves or try to stop it, and they can't, they realize, what am I doing here? I can't continue to not be able, even though I love this person to death. I know they have a good heart. I know that they're this. I know that they're that. And I said, well, we're going to have to work with the person I'm working with themselves first so that they don't need to control others so heavily and so deeply that they don't even know they're doing it. And they know everything, and they talk fast, and they talk over you. All you have to say is two sentences. Oh, I already know what you're going to say. Like, how do you know what they're going to say? How do you know what they're going to do? Well, I know people. You know, I've worked in this and that, and I've dealt with a lot of people, and I've done this, and, you know, people think I'm funny, and people think I'm this, and people think I'm that, and people think I'm that. And I thought, so what? This person, the one closest to you, is having a hard time just having a conversation when the one running the entire show from front to finish. And my question to that person was, how much time do you spend in your life going back to people you've railroaded, telling them you are sorry for what you said? How many times gone to the children, your children, and had to say to them, I'm sorry? And that's when it started to click, because there was a realization that they were saying sorry a lot. How much does anyone that's close to you, not all the people who you work with and you train and you take care of and you, want to tell you anything that they need or want to share anything? They've been coming to you as a as-needed basis, because they cannot take the onslaught of control. The kid's room is messy. They tell the kid, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. The kid doesn't pick it up. They go in and clean it for them and organize it and start from brand new when the kid is not there. So the kid doesn't even see the process. So it's like this love, this very aggressive and then very passive extreme. And so there isn't a middle ground. So what happened to the middle ground is there's no trust that there is a middle ground, because that point to now where nobody's talking. And unless a controller can see their effect, and I did make headway. I did make sure that there were certain things that they immediately stopped doing. Immediately. And that started to work. Oh, wow, I do that. I said, well, you know, doesn't it take pressure off of you to do that? To not feel like you have to control everybody else and kind of get some of that time back for yourself so you can think about what you're doing in your life, not just to others, but to yourself. So we're starting to make some headway. And then it'll be like, after a week or two of trying those things, oh, wow, you know what? You were right. I said, it's just the way to work with each other. You can't work with each other by yourself. Nobody wants to feel like they're not part of the equation. And I want you to hear on the tape what you sound like. And then I want you to tell me how you would respond to somebody talking to you that way. I'm old enough to walk out of a room if somebody comes to me that way. But when it's your spouse, children, that's where rebellion, resentment, anger stores itself in not being heard. And our trust is broken in the system of our relationship. I know that's an extreme case. It is the most extreme I have had to date. Because the love is so good, but then the controlling is so good, and that people start flip-flopping with the parents. One of their children retreated and has a lot of self-hatred issues because of being put down so deeply and then loved so much. It's like either they're good or they're bad. And the other one actually has issues. They didn't diagnose yet, but they're thinking that there's a bipolar issue. But after getting into the dynamics of the family, the entire family, the entire relationship between the parents and the kids, is pendulum is either all the way on one side or all the way on the other side. There is no balance. So the work is to create a balance between everybody so that there is a mode of communication that they can all thrive in. It made me really think about, you know, how they have AA's, Alcohol Anonymous, or Overeaters Anonymous, or they have, you know, different support groups for people. But it really made me think that we need to have a support group, understand trust within themselves and with others, or classes, or something that lets you know, hey, you know what? I'm going in deeper into a place that isn't okay. I know it, but I don't know how to stop it. But it isn't really that bad yet, and you just stay. And then it gets worse because instead of being able to address it, the person fights back, and then they fight back again. And then they can only take it till they can take it no more. And then when they can't take it, now they have to create an action, and when they create that action, they get blamed for it. And then the other person, instead of looking at their role and what they did, like, well, you know what, I did cut you off three times, and I didn't let you finish a sentence, and I did jump in on you, that I did accuse you for reacting. If that never happens, the other person doesn't heal and the other person doesn't know. So what happens? There's no trust. Because over time, they've taught each other that they don't know how to communicate. And now to the point where, is the family going to be able to handle this? There's no consistency other than the breakdown. Otherwise, there's no consistency. When two people first meet, take a look at how you talk. Take a look at how much stuff you stop doing that you normally do and love to do because the other person doesn't care or do those things. Ask yourself if you are melting into the other person, meaning that now you're both living to support that person's dreams and that person's work and that person's mind. Is your mind being supported? Are your dreams being supported? Are you being supported? Do you matter in the equation of this relationship? There's so many questions that if you can't answer them and sleep at night over what you're finding the answers to be in the beginning when you're learning about somebody. Never forget when you first meet somebody, of course, the attraction and all of that is obviously fun and beautiful and warm because people are both out of the box when they're feeling those emotions. But once we kind of filter back into everyday life, is it all of a sudden, well, I don't do that. Well, I don't go places. Well, I don't do this. Well, I don't, you know, and you're, I don't. And then you're like, oh, that's okay. I could give that up. I don't really care for that. Well, I realize, you know. But then over time, you start missing yourself. You put all your trust and all your faith into a person who was fine before you ever got into their life. So why are you now doing all this stuff for them? It means that you both need to be doing for each other so that the pendulum isn't only on one side, because if you're either on one side or the other and there is no middle ground, then there can only be resentment to follow that relationship. Even if it's just the relationship resenting itself for not being a growing tool for both of you. We aren't in relationships to shut down. And we're not in relationships to give ourselves up. We're in relationships to grow and strengthen our soul. And if that's not happening, somebody in that relationship is really not happy. Many relationships from the older generation, where both people knew their roles. The wife knew that this is what a wife does. The man knew that this is what a man does. But we poo-pooed that. And we said, hey, you know what? The man should help with this, and I should go back to work. And now everybody has to work, and now everybody has to take care of a family. But in a lot of cases, believe it or not, in today, 2017, the woman still does the woman role and the man still does the man role, even though they're both working, they're both home at the same time, they both have the same responsibilities at home, but only one of them does it. So one of them gets really tired. And the other one can't figure out why. So how do we help this along? Well, again, in the beginning of the relationship, ask of each other things to do. Could you help me with this? Could you help me with that? Can we do this together? Let's do that together. Because then both of you are a part of the same life you are living. Invite into the conversation. Invite each other into the chores.
invite each other places to go and things to see and to explore in the day. Invite each other into each other's lives and do things together that aren't just things we all have to do. Life should not be an endless argument because trust has not been established in the beginning. If something bothers you in the beginning, don't say, well, that's not so big. I can deal with this. Can we have a conversation about? Can we talk about? And when you do that and the conversations aren't about something that's, you know, a big problem every time, but like, hey, can we have a conversation about our vacation? Can we have a conversation about where we want to go this Friday night? Can we have a conversation about what we want to do tonight? What do we want to have for dinner? Whatever it is, then there's a trust built into the fact that there's balance. And then every time you guys have a conversation, it's not about something you're both really upset about. Children, because we have them from the beginning, if we're constantly just pointing out what's wrong and never what's right, they don't believe they're loved. And the parents are shocked. Like, oh my God, but of course I love my kids. Yeah, they don't think so. They don't think so. They can't figure out how you only notice the stuff that doesn't work and how you don't notice the stuff that does. Well, the stuff that does, I don't need to say anything about. Like, kind of you do. Because there's no balance. It all goes back to balance over and over and over again. Having balance for anyone allows them to grow in every other area of their life. And when there is no balance, what happens is the focus stays on what's missing, which is the balance. And then you go out and you meet people in the world and you expect them to start treating you that way, or you're not comfortable because that's all you know. So now you're looking for somebody who's going to do the same thing to you your family did, because that's all you know. May not be the best thing to know. And then you wonder how you put yourself in the same situation only with someone new that you found and you brought in. Because in the beginning, you didn't voice your opinion, because at home, you didn't voice your opinion. We are like literal magnets. What we think, what we perceive, is exactly what we draw to us. And then we don't trust ourselves because we feel like we can't make a good decision, but it wasn't anyone's fault that you made that decision. It's just that you never grew past or saw from the outside in what you were raised like, what you witnessed your parents speak like. Your parents chose each other because of the same thing, and the cycle continues until there is recognition. And usually it takes someone from the outside looking in to say, hey, do you realize this is what's going on here? And this is, doesn't mean everybody's bad. It just means we have to find another way. You guys, today is over already. I can't believe it. I'll see you tomorrow on Dream Theme Thursday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.